CNBC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Sam Bankman-Fried, the former head of the cryptocurrency company FTX, sentenced today to 25 years in prison for defrauding customers out of billions. ABC's Aaron Kutursky is in Lower Manhattan.
Part of the reason for the lengthy sentence was to disable, as the judge put it, Bankman-Fried's ability to commit another crime, at least for the foreseeable future. Bankman-Fried acknowledged that he had failed, that he had made some mistakes, but the judge said he did not find Bankman-Fried to be remorseful.
Bankman-Fried is appealing his conviction. The NTSB is interviewing crew members of the cargo ship that slammed into the Key Bridge in Baltimore, causing it to collapse, and reviewing recorders found on board. Two more bodies were recovered. Four other maintenance workers are presumed dead. It's opening day for Major League Baseball. Teams across the country matched up, but rain has postponed some of those games, including the New York Mets and Philadelphia Phillies. This is ABC News. Avian flu detected in dairy cattle in Texas and Kansas.
Routine testing of milk cows on a pair of Texas panhandle ranches turned up bird flu.
This is a disease introduction that is very unusual.
Unusual but not unheard of, says Gary Joyner of the Texas Farm Bureau. Avian flu has also been found on two dairy farms in Kansas. And while it can reduce a cow's output,
when milk is processed, that itself kills viruses like avian influenza.
Agriculture officials say the milk-drinking public is not in danger. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
It is unclear how cows became infected. Cases of mpox, formerly known as monkeypox, are on the rise in the U.S. According to the CDC, the numbers of cases are nearly double what they were at this time last year. Mpox usually spreads via close contact, including through skin-to-skin, bodily fluids, or during pregnancy. A vaccine is available and recommended for those who are at higher risk of developing the virus. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Sorry, but we actually have a wait list for our Monstera.
Shaw's greenhouse is really bringing in the green.
We can't keep snake plants and stuff.
She needs a construction manager to build on her roots and grow.
We could add a whole section for ferns. Here we'd have dahlias, dahlias, and more dahlias.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Don't you love an extra $100 in your pocket? Have a TurboTax expert file your taxes for you by March 31st to get $100 back instantly. Because no matter what moves you made last year, TurboTax makes them count. That means getting $100 back and 100% accurate taxes only from Intuit TurboTax. Must file by 3/31. Credit only applicable to federal filing fees with TurboTax full service. Offer can be modified or terminated at any time.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. The man accused of stabbing a woman in her Fond du Lac home last week was in the country illegally. Fermin Lopez Mendoza made his initial court appearance Wednesday. The 50-year-old Lopez Mendoza is charged with attempted homicide after allegedly stabbing a woman in the stomach Friday. The victim claims there's an extensive history of domestic violence with Lopez Mendoza. Following his arrest Saturday in rural Ozaukee County, Federal Homeland Security confirmed to the Fond du Lac County Sheriff's Office that Lopez Mendoza is illegally in the United States. His cash bond was set at $2 million. Wisconsin's homelessness rate is trending upwards, according to a new report. The Wisconsin Policy Forum says the number of homeless Wisconsinites is up after years of decline. The report says pressures from the pandemic pushed many people out of their homes as they lost their jobs, and the sudden rise in home prices and rent only made it harder for people to get back into a permanent home. The forum says Wisconsin communities need to look at expanding transitional housing for homeless people and try to make up the difference in lost federal stimulus funds to continue to provide shelter. A new take on an old scam.
The Dane County Sheriff's Office says the use of artificial intelligence in telephone scams is becoming more common. Specifically, the grandparent scam has become even more believable. This scam targets older people and leads them to believe a grandchild is in some sort of distress and needs money. Authorities say scammers are now taking online videos and using AI to create a recording using the person's voice. Not only do we have to be on alert on our phones, the Sheriff's Office says we should also use more caution in what we're sharing on social media. In Madison, Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Wondering how to choose from all your spring break options? Pop quiz. Is your family into monkeying around, airbending on a flying bison, or diving into slime? Or all of it? Mall of America. Go bananas on the new Boots Banana Swing Ride. Take to the sky and fly with Appa. Then get slimed in the Nickelodeon Universe Slimulator. For the littles, cosmic crafts, and more at Crayola Experience. It's the spring break of choice at Mall of America. MallofAmerica.com/spring.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For the rest of today, sunshine, temps in the low 30s. For tonight, mostly clear and a low around 16. Slight chance of rain tomorrow afternoon, otherwise partly sunny, with highs in the mid-40s. Rain is likely Friday night with a low of 33. Saturday, clouds and a high of 43. For Sunday, chance of rain, otherwise mostly cloudy, a high of 47. And rain likely on Monday, 48. Right now, 31 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
See from Ag Resource Company, then it's a full seg with Greg Henderson from Drovers, and later, Terry Johnston from Farm Rescue. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lowry.
Did you see how Big Apple Joe had enough there?
Cut me off.
I was going to say the Cyclones. I might have just a touch of March Madness going today, too, dude.
You got a little madness. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
You got the mad hoops disease is what you got there.
Yeah, baby.
It's no good.
Whoa. No good. I mean, all across the middle of the country, Iowa and Illinois getting ready to face off.
Oof.
It's going to be a blast tonight. We got to wait until, just after 9 o'clock tonight. Before they throw the ball in the air and we tip things off. But, and it's the game's in Boston. Mm-hmm. Why would they throw the ball up at 10 after 10?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know either. Those East Coasters, they're just crazy.
Well, I can tell you how we do it here in Kansas City, in the heart of the country.
Oh, do it in the middle of the day.
At 3:10 p.m., we're going to face the Minnesota Twins for our season opener.
There you go.
It's going to be fantastic. We got opening day today. It's a beautiful day in Kansas City.
See, and that's the other thing. Normally, it would be day baseball for the Cubs on opening day. Mm-hmm. But no, we're playing the world champion, Texas Rangers, and we got to wait until tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we're going to have to watch the whole ring ceremony and all that crap.
Yeah.
Before they actually throw the first pitch.
Mm-hmm.
But enough of the complaining.
I've already got some Royals tickets. It is.
Yeah.
It is. We got what? Prospective plantings report. We got the thing with the grain.
Quarterly grain stocks report.
Yeah, that's it. What did I say? Is that,
the
is that
thing
what I
with
said?
The grains. Yeah.
That sounds like me. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll get some perspective on that from Dan Bossy coming up here in just a little bit. Greg Henderson, we would normally have him on here in the first segment. We're going to hold him off until we get to the bottom of the hour because
we need to go deeper with Greg today.
Yes. There is a lot happening in the cattle industry right now, and I want to get Greg in here for talking, I want to dig a little deeper into what is going on. And then Farm Rescue, really cool organization helping farm families out across the country. Terry Johnston is the development officer there. He's got some news on expansion of services and a big effort that they've got underway right now. So we'll wrap things up with Terry at the end of the show.
Sounds great.
All right, buddy. Let's do it. Let's get to the news.
Well, let's start with the weather. Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Rainy, stormy weather continues along the East Coast through today, lingering in New England Friday. Unsettled weather for the West with a late-season atmospheric river impacting California Friday. Warming trend begins over the central U.S. today. That atmospheric river, Chip, we've heard that term before, and it doesn't bring good stuff, does it?
Right. It turns into feet of snow in the mountains. It turns into mudslides at lower elevations and flooded streets along the coast. So, something we need to watch.
U.S. markets will trade normal hours today, except for the bond market, which will close at 2 p.m. Eastern time. U.S. financial and commodity markets will be closed Friday in observance of Good Friday, but U.S. government offices will be open. And as we said, USDA will release its prospective plantings and quarterly grain stocks reports at 11 a.m. Central Time today. Much of the pre-report attention is on planting intentions, but quarterly stocks have proven to be strongly market-moving, especially for corn.
Yeah.
Analysts expect March 1 stocks of 8.427 billion bushels for corn, 1.828 billion bushels for beans, and 1.044 billion bushels for wheat.
Yeah, we'll find out from Dan what a bullish number would look like, what a bearish number would look like from the grain stocks.
Federal officials told Maryland lawmakers that replacing the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore would cost at least $2 billion, this according to Bloomberg. President Joe Biden said on Tuesday the federal government should pay for the rebuild, and he'd work with Congress on that. Debris from the collapsed bridge is blocking the shipping channel connecting the port to the Chesapeake Bay and the Atlantic Ocean. Remains of the bridge must be cleared before the port can begin operations, which experts say could take months, Chip.
You know, when you compare spending $2 billion on this bridge to some of the other things that the federal government is spending $2 billion on, it sounds like a heck of a deal.
Yeah,
spend the money.
Is like, I don't know how we're going to pay for this. We'll figure it out somehow. Really?
Yeah, whatever.
Really?
Build the bridge.
Build the bridge.
Build the bridge.
Secretary Tom Vilsack told House ag lawmakers recently that no matter how much Congress tries, USDA's tracking of China's farmland buys in the U.S. will always be wanting. China's U.S. farmland buys and its nefarious hacking, IP thefts of seed genetics, and data breaches have raised U.S. concerns to a fever pitch and prompted recent sanctions against CCP actors. But Secretary Vilsack warns there's just so much USDA can do to track Beijing's buys of U.S. farmland. He had this to say.
No matter how much money you give us, it will always be imperfect for this reason. There are over 3,000 county recorder offices around the country. Every county has a recorder office. It would require us to have a centralized database where every real estate transaction would be essentially put into a database to look at.
A lot to hold together in figuring all that out, Chip.
Come on!
Huh? What?
There are millions of people paying attention to this. If the crowd doesn't know who the buyer is on a piece of ground, I think they can raise a few flags and say, hey, we need to figure this one out and see who the real buyer is on this one. Yeah. Come on. It should not be that difficult.
All right. On another note, meteorologists at AccuWeather are warning citizens and businesses to start preparing now for what could be a potentially busy tropical storm season that may have major impacts in the U.S. The 2024 Atlantic hurricane season forecast is calling for 20 to 25 named storms. 8 to 12 of those storms are forecast to strengthen into hurricanes. 4 to 6 storms could directly impact the United States. Let's go to this here. USDA will invest up to $22 million in partnerships that expand access to conservation technical assistance for livestock producers and increase the use of conservation practices on grazing land. The Natural Resources Conservation Service is accepting proposals through its Grazing Lands Conservation Initiative until May 26. NRCS Chief Terry Cosby says, quote, privately owned grazing lands cover nearly 30% of the national landscape.
Yep.
Which means we have a tremendous opportunity to conserve natural resources through voluntary private lands conservation. Chip?
Gotta be voluntary. There's no question about that. And
Indeed. And
raising beef, running those mama cows and calves on pasture that is properly managed is one of the most environmentally favorable ways of raising protein.
Preach.
You know, so yeah, it should be pretty simple to push that agenda forward. All we got to do is tell the story of what's happening time and time and time and time and time again across cattle country. All right, good stuff, Davis.
Thanks,
we got
man.
Dan Bossi, Ag Resource Company, up next. This is Chip Lorre with another Appetite for Pork report. Dr. David Newman with the National Pork Board works to put more U.S. pork on tables around the world. David, how have pork checkoff dollars turned into new business in foreign markets?
With help from the U.S. Meat Export Federation and matching funds from the USDA, the checkoff's working to drive the demand with international customers. The big win in 2023 was in Mexico and Japan, which are both long-term customers for U.S. pork. Those activations have resulted in the addition of millions of pounds of U.S. pork sales going into foreign markets.
What's next is you're trying to reach new customers for U.S. pork.
Continuing to offer up the fresh, high-quality U.S. pork around the world.
Thanks again, David, for talking with us today about how the Pork Checkoff is building a bigger appetite for U.S. pork. You can find more information at porkcheckoff.org/radio.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds. Protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
All right, let's see here. Acuron Corn Herbicide. Powerful weed control? Check. Long-lasting residual? Check. Proven crop safety? Check. Acuron checks all the boxes, which is why it outperforms and outyields all other corn herbicides by 5 to 15 bushels an acre. Talk to your local Syngenta retailer or visit findmorebushels.com to discover your revenue potential today. Always read and follow label instructions. Acuron is a restricted use pest.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
There are many reasons growers trust Stein on their operations. For starters, we're home to the industry's highest yielding genetics. But we have something else just as powerful and reliable as our products. Service. With Stein, growers have the benefit of leveraging decades of knowledge from our talented agronomy and sales teams. We're ready to walk the fields with you to ensure you get the yield benefits Stein Genetics can bring to your farm. Stein Seed. Dedicated to yield. Committed to you.
In the morning, you're coffeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Today is the day that the grain markets have been prepping for since basically the middle of January.
Opening day.
Maybe not opening day. Might not even be the Cyclone Illinois game coming up tonight.
Although it might be.
It might be. Yeah, we don't want to rule that out. The madness is real. No, ever since we get the Deese One quarterly grain stocks report in January, the annual production summary at the end of the month, those two things in particular, but the winter wheat seedings, we need to include that in the conversation too. That comes at the end of January. Once you get that, then it is nothing but anticipation of the prospective plantings report and the March 1 quarterly grain stocks report. And we get those reports today. So let's do a little bit of extra preview work on it. Dan Bossy, Ag Resource Company, is here to help us do that. Dan, it's great to talk with you. How are you?
I'm fine, but you're probably not going to like me being an Illinois boy, but we'll leave it at that. Okay?
I knew it. Of course. No, that's fine. I mean, you know, we welcome all sorts on
as long
to
as the Cyclones
Talk,
win. I know. Go ahead. Anyway.
Gonna be a great game. I hope it is. Yes. Yeah. All right. Let's start with the acreage numbers, because at least leading up to the release of the reports, that's where the focus is. That's where the spotlight is. And we start to get some ideas about it at the end of or in February from the USDA Ag Outlook Forum, where the chief economist's office said 91 million for planted corn acres. But the average pre-report trade estimate according to a survey by Reuters. 91.776, so about 750,000 more than what USDA indicated in February. What makes sense to you, Dan?
You know, we're about in that area. We're at 91.5, so we're not far away. That's down about, close to 3 million acres from last year. And so that shift of losing corn probably goes to beans. So we have beans at 86.5, which I think is close to what the average trade estimate is.
Yep.
So, you know, the reason maybe for the shift from the outlook form is we had such a good fall and the winter was nice and people got down anhydrous. So I think as people did their surveys, farmers said, hey, I put down a little more nitrogen because the weather was right. And that may show up in the seedings estimates today for corn.
Dan, the conversation is also around profitability. You know, which market is offering more revenue, more profit per acre? That conversation happens, but in reality, how much does that really move acres?
You know, I've gone back over my career, which is like 44 years, and we tried to move into acreage estimates relative to profitability. It doesn't work that way very well.
Yeah.
I always say that because there's other tugs and pulls on our pocketbooks. This year, you know, farmers, because of low prices and values that are not fully insuring it's the whole crop's production, as we look at crop insurance rates this year, you got about 81% of the crop insured. That's different from last year's 99%. And so with that in mind and interest rates higher, farmers are indicating they do want to plant the cheaper crop, soybeans, even though the corn may be producing just a spike, a little bit more margin. Soybeans seem to come up in discussions more frequently, especially in when I do this work. There's two areas of the country that really come out to me as where the shifts happen. They're in the Delta and they're in the Northern Plains. Those are the fringe swing areas. And so if you really want to get acreage estimates right, if you get those areas right, we in the Midwest, we may jostle a little between corn and beans, but in the end, we kind of keep things the same.
Okay. The combined number that you gave us here between the 91.5, 86.5, 178 million acres of corn and soybeans across the Midwest. Well, across the country, not just the Midwest.
Yeah,
across the country. How does that compare to where we have been in the past?
Well, it's down about a million acres from last year, a little less than that. So, you know, when you think about where we're at, it's been really, really hard to get over 180 million acres total farmed corn and bean acres in the U.S. And so we kind of think that's the ceiling, if you will. So we can move acres back and forth. But I always say 179 and 180 are really good years if you have profitability to get acreage up to those levels. We're not there this year. So 178 seems right. I wouldn't even be surprised that we end up somewhere at 177 when we get the final number in June. But for today's report, it'll probably be a scotch either side of 178.
What role has the cotton? I was going to say the cotton market. I just want to put it this way. What role does cotton play in divvying up these acres?
Well, if you remember my discussion about the Delta, right, how important it is. And last year, the Delta farmer planted a lot of corn. Corn down there was up 14%. This year, I don't want to call it the white gold, but it's a little more profitable than it's been. Cotton acres will be up a million acres at about 11.3 by our survey. So a million acres are owned nearly 10% extra cotton relative to last year in the Delta. And that is taken away from corn. And then we find people planting a few more soybeans down there. And that's how we get the down 3 million acres of corn, along with a little bit of help in the Northern Plains.
Okay. That's one of the heavier cotton acreage estimates that I've heard, Dan.
Well, I think the average, let me just see here. I think the average is at 11.1. So I think we're in the neighborhood. But, you know, we'll watch that number very carefully. The low range in S cotton was 10.4. The high is 13. We've got a big spread on cotton acreage, Chip. So, you know, we're coming in at 11.3 or 11.4. We're kind of in the middle of that. But there is some big disparity in what people think on cotton acres compared to other crops.
Okay. So in 35 minutes, when we get the prospective planting report, let's imagine corn number is 91.8. Bean number is in at 86.5, right in line with trade expectations. What do the markets do?
Well, if that's the case, I don't think the markets would do a lot. I think the market's relatively short. We then kind of sit back and say, okay, what's going to be the planning weather and where are we going in terms of supply? But, you know, the surprises historically in this report have mostly come from stocks, not from seedings. Seedings are important. But the one that we analysts really struggle with over the years has been stocks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we also get the quarterly grain stocks report. This is as of March 1. Trade expectations, Davis had them in the news. Wheat as of March 1, stocks in all positions, 1.044 billion bushels. Corn, 8.427 billion bushels. Soybeans, 1.828 billion bushels. Are we looking at corn numbers first?
Yeah, no, I think corn is the right thing to focus on. And so, you know, we're a billion bushels in stocks over where we were last year, which makes sense relative to the crop. You know, if we think about 8.43 in terms of end stocks, it's the largest corn end stock since 2018. So it's a big pile. It's really going to give us confirmation. Did USDA's record corn yield that they gave us in January, is it going to be borne out in this stocks number? And so if we're below 8.2, the market's going to kind of look at it and say, well, maybe that crop wasn't the record and maybe Nebraska yields didn't go up 9 bushels an acre as indicated in January. If it's 8.4 or 8.6, they're going to say, oh, yeah, it was a big crop and the market probably won't like it.
Right. Okay. You know, and I should mention this, too, Dan. This afternoon, 2 o'clock Central Time, we get the quarterly hogs and pigs report. I mean, this is an important report for not only for the hog market, but for the grain market as well, isn't it?
No, we want to make sure our consumptive base is there. You know, when you look at feed usage over the last quarter, which we use as analysts to get into the corn number, we are estimating we fed on the average trade guess about 1.55 billion bushels of corn. That's up 114 million bushels from last year. Now, there's always this thing called residual, the statistical slush factor that we analysts struggle with. But in saying so, you know, it would say that we need good numbers on hogs and cattle and poultry and dairy animals and that they made money and they kind of kept their consumption moving higher.
Right. Absolutely. The bottom line from today, though, is it has a history of generating some additional volatility for the grain trade, doesn't it?
It does. We really struggle with this group of numbers. It is the biggest report of late winter spring. We won't get another big one like this till we get the May WASDE and we start including new crop balance sheets. But this is a kahuna today. We somehow need to figure out where indeed corn stocks are in particular and where corn seedings are. If I come up with a corn seedings number of 93 or 93 and a half, the market's not going to like it. So we've got large stocks. We're trying to see how big is big and make adjustments accordingly.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's how these acreage intentions line up compared to year ago. It's important. That is important. But guys, you got to compare it to the trade expectations going into the report to really figure out how the market might react. So Dan, great stuff. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Be well. Have a great holiday weekend, and good luck with the reports, everyone.
All right. Can I say this one last thing real quick? I got to say ahead. It. Yeah. Go Cyclones.
Oh, no. Stop that. Anyway, we're going the other way, but we're hopeful for the Cubs this year. We'll see what happens.
There you go.
Be well.
When we told growers that Bayer Premium Trivolt herbicide for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trivolt, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trivolt worked. See for yourself at TrivoltInAction.com. Trivolt is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
In the beginning, there were soybean plants, and something big was about to happen. Except it didn't, because stresses like heat and drought struck during the flowering stage, preventing bloom and so much more. But then Agroxene said, "Let there be SmartFoil." And the big bloom came, because SmartFoil is a biological foliar application that increases pod count and yield potential by reducing abiotic stress. So bloom big in 2024. Ask your retailer about SmartFoil by Agroxene or visit bigbeanbloom.com to learn more.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady.
Max Armstrong here. The demand for nitrogen has never been higher. Fortunately, Pivot Bio has transformed the way fertilizer is produced and used by farmers. Unlike synthetic nitrogen fertilizers, the cost of Pivot Bio Proven 40 is every bit as consistent as its performance. And since it's applied in furrow at planting, it's weatherproof.
To learn more, contact Bauer Seeds in service in Durand, Wisconsin. Call 715-577-8541.
Milk markets continue to move mostly lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, April milk down 8 to 15.56, May down 12 to 15.93, June down 12 to 16.65. July down 2 at 1750. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live cattle markets are moving mostly higher as oversold conditions helping to support the live cattle markets, but feeder cattle continue to move mostly lower. Lower cash markets pressuring the feeder cattle today. Hog markets moving mostly higher as, again, this is ahead of the hogs and pigs report, and that is to be released later this afternoon. April live cattle up 70 cents to 184.30. March feeder cattle down 40 cents to 247.60. April hogs up 95 cents to 87.05. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving mostly higher. Double-digit gains in corn and wheat after the prospective plantings report showed lower than expected wheat and also corn plantings. That's really helping the corn and wheat markets. Now, soybean ending stocks, they were pretty much within the trade guess. But again, the strength from the corn and wheat markets also now spilling over into soybeans. New crop of corn up 18 and a quarter to 480 and a half. New crop beans up 8 to 1191 and a half. May wheat in Chicago up 19 to 566 and a half. Minneapolis wheat May up 3 and a half.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Affiliate stations or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Yeah, if you've got any questions about what's going on in the cattle industry right now, now's a good time to pick up the phone and give us a call. You can also send us a tweet if you do include hashtag AgriTalk in it. You can also send us an email, host@agritalk.com. Now, normally on Thursdays in our opening segment, we have Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers, on, and Greg and I discuss a factor in the cattle industry that the market seems to be paying attention to. But dude, Greg, there's so much going on right now in the cattle industry. I'm glad that you could make an adjustment and come with us for a full segment today. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for having me, Chip. I appreciate it. And yes, there is a lot going on.
Holy smokes, is there ever. I want to start with something that Brian Grady just said, kind of the trifecta. He said the way the market is trading this week, we've got at least a short-term high in the futures market, at least a short-term high in the cash market, at least a short-term high in the box beef market. That is something that the cattle market participants have been watching for, have been flagging for, and saying, good grief, watch out. If it happens, we need to be prepared for that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly the futures market has shown us there's a lot of volatility there. And if you're a cattle feeder, there's a lot at risk right now. Their costs are much higher than they have been before. It's just, it's a, certainly a time when we're getting concerned about beef demand too. And I think those concerns play into what we saw in the futures market earlier this week.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we got that cattle on feed report last Friday. Placements came in up 9.7% from a year ago in February. And the trade was looking for something like a 6.5% increase. I don't know if that was the reason or if it was the simple fact that the cash market had traded to a new all-time high on average, according to USDA, or what it was. But boy, it just chased the buyers out of the market for the first 2 days this week, didn't it?
Well, it did. And we need to think about how the industry has changed over the last, say, 10 years, and changed because we have more of the larger feed yards. I'm going to say corporate feed yards are playing too. Those people, those yards tend to gather cattle and run them on grass. And there may not actually be a feeder cattle transaction that corresponds with the date that they're placed. They may have been on grass. They may have been on winter pastures, whatever. So, there's more of that going on than we saw 10 years ago.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then, Chip, that has an effect on the profitability as well. So yep. I know that you've mentioned the profit tracker that we publish on Drovers, and Nalivka has them making feed yards made about $125 a head last week. Okay. Well, I know that, you know, some of the cattle didn't make any money last week, and some of them made more than that. But that's an industry average. But again, it goes back to the way the procurement, what percentage of cattle are actually being bought at that feeder cattle price of $255 per hundredweight. So yeah. A lot of factors at play, a lot of different, types of flexibility for these feed yard and margin operators.
Right, right. Including the cost of gain. I mean, what a difference from a year ago, right?
So, yes, the total cost of feeding a steer, according to Nalivka's calculations, are down 38. The feed costs are down 38%.
Yeah.
The total cost, however, is up 17%. And it costs over $2,500 a head to buy that steer and feed him. So you've got interest rates obviously are playing a larger role. Yeah. That feeder steer up 28% compared to a year ago. A lot of volatility, and there's a lot at risk there for those feed yards. And the saving grace has been that decline in feed costs. That's not good for corn farmers, but it is good for cattle feeders.
Yep, that's right. Monday morning, right away, the Oklahoma City sale barn had their regular feeder cattle auction. It looked like that market, cash market, was off $3, something like that, on the 7-weight steers. I don't know if that is carried over to the rest of the plains or not, Greg. It seems to me other areas and areas north of Oklahoma City, it felt like a fairly steady market, wasn't it?
Yeah, it did feel like a steady market, but, the old saying is the cure for high prices is high prices, right?
Yes.
So it reached a point where, feed yards and backgrounders are looking at that and saying, I've got to back off a little bit because the economists I've talked to are telling me, the cow-calf operator is doing really well right now at this stage in the cycle. But the margin operator, especially those backgrounders, are really getting squeezed. And the price of the cattle is the biggest factor in that as well. Yeah. The other thing we need to consider, Chip, is that drought concerns have not gone away.
Right.
And, we're looking at a time where we're seeing, I've talked to people in Kansas and Oklahoma. I drove through Kansas last week, it's getting dry again. We had some winter moisture, but that drought threat has not gone away.
Right. Okay. Okay. I want to hit a couple of other items here. Monday, we got word that USDA was going to come with a press release about this mysterious disease that was into the dairies in Kansas and Texas. Talk about it being in New Mexico as well. Well, they did. They confirmed that it is the high path avian influenza has gotten into the dairy herds. There are some dairy herds. It seems like there was a reaction in the cattle market to that word as well, out of concern that some of the dairy herds were going to be liquidated or something like that. Did you hear that or see that?
You know, that rumor seemed to fuel those futures reaction.
Yeah.
Maybe it was, you know, I've talked to people on both sides of that question, but it seems like it was an opportunity to take a pause in this market, right? It was based on not on knowledge, but on fear of the unknown and the uncertainty. And so, you know, I've had some people tell me the futures market did its job when it did that. Now, based on where you're at in the market, you may or may not agree with that, but at least, you know, the market says, we know, do not like uncertainty. And that certainly provided at least 24 hours or 48 hours of uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen, but it seems to have smoothed out. The fears are subsiding. We know it's not a problem for consumers of either pasteurized milk or properly cooked beef, right?
Right. Right. Yeah, it is. Consumers should not be afraid of what has happened with the HPAI getting into the dairies. But if consumers show concern over the safety of the product, I get it. The market probably needs to make some kind of an adjustment because of that. So the uncertainty or the risk of it is very real. Very real. Okay.
So maybe some other things that happened this week, like that bridge collapse in Baltimore.
Yep.
You know, those are, you know, pushing this HPAI news to the second and third page. You know.
Exactly. Okay. One other one that I want to get to here real quick. Something that I think there was widespread agreement among cattlemen, cow-calf producers, beef organizations, cattle organizations, everybody, was they really didn't like the idea of reopening the U.S. beef market to chilled, frozen, fresh beef from Paraguay because of the uncertainty over their FMD status. And the Senate is trying to do something and stop the reopening of the market. That's good news, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Can you name the last time, Chip, that the entire beef industry has agreed on something?
No, I can't.
I mean, that's like getting Democrats and Republicans to agree on something. But hopefully our Democrats and Republicans in the House will agree with what the Senate did and pass the same resolution. And hopefully if they have the same margins they had in the Senate, it will be veto proof from the president. Right.
Right.
Absolutely. We need to stop that reopening of Paraguayan beef to the United States because they just don't have the same inspection and regulations that we do. They're still vaccinating for FMD. However, American consumers need to be aware that we have the safest beef in the world. And we just hope Congress will step up and make sure that continues.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly right. The beef supply is safe. There's no question about that. And this action by the Senate is going to help to keep it that way. We just don't want to have to deal with a foreign animal disease coming into the country. The last thing we want to do is import something like that. Henderson, good stuff, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers. Terry Johnston, Farm Rescue, up next.
Your gas light's on. We need to fill up.
Gas around here is too expensive.
Don't drive all over searching for the lowest prices. Just download the free Upside app and get cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying gas? I'm stopping now to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or e-gift card. Download the free Upside app now and use promo code RADIO for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. That's promo code RADIO.
Pluto TV is TV the way it should be, free. With over 300 channels, thousands of movies and TV shows costing zeros of dollars. So if you want to watch shows like Ghost, The Walking Dead, CSI, Star Trek, or The Price is Right, well, the price is right. It's free. Hit movies like Braveheart, Sonic the Hedgehog, Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, or Mean Girls won't cost you a thing because everything is free. All you have to do is download the app, which, by the way, is also free. Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Go ahead, feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust. Your vehicle's moving along this freeway like it was made from fresh installs and a whole lot of love. With eBay Motors, you get over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Low four, take your base.
The only thing worse than a pitcher running out of gas on the mound is your old phone running out of storage for your photos in the stands.
Goodbye, home run!
Switch to Verizon and get a great deal on a new iPhone 15 Pro with tons of storage for all the ballpark picks you want. Just trade in your iPhone, any model, in any condition, so you'll feel like you're winning, even when your team's not. Trade in any iPhone in any condition for a great deal on iPhone 15 Pro with Unlimited Ultimate and get iPad and Apple Watch SE with eligible service plan, only on Verizon.
Joining us now is John Stasiak. He is a Golden Harvest grower and seed advisor from Holman, Wisconsin. John, give me a little bit of the history of Golden Harvest products on your operation.
I've been growing Golden Harvest since 2010. Became a seed advisor in 2010 and been using their product since.
A seed advisor. Do you feel like that gives you an advantage in kind of evaluating how the product is doing out there?
Yeah, it gives some advantage. I get all the background on all the hybrids. Plus, I have a great support team behind me explaining all the hybrids and where they go best and populations for them and such, fungicide treatments. So,
excellent. So talk to me specifically about the 2023 growing season. 268 bushels per acre, John. In your part of the world, that's an impressive feat.
Yeah, we had pretty good spring, fair moisture in the spring. And the rains just shut off, and we didn't get nothing until after harvest, and our yields were still really good across all our acres.
What was the hybrid that you had in play out there for that 268?
My 268, my irrigated one, was 08R52. I think it's about a three-year-old hybrid. Works real good on the sand ground, and so the agronomics behind the Golden Harvest corn has always been real solid.
All right. So what you learned from 2023, what are you going to take from that in your decisions for 2024?
For our NCGA, we're actually going to stick with the 08R52. We're going to step up some fungicide treatments on it to multiple passes that way, maybe a couple more nitrogen passes with it and see if we can push that 300 number.
Excellent. Good luck, buddy.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. That is John Stasiak. He is a Golden Harvest grower and seed advisor from Holman, Wisconsin.
Are you ready to maximize your yields? Use Germinator Steel Closing Wheels. Germinator Steel Closing Wheels provide a 13-bushel advantage per acre in no-till and a 7-bushel advantage per acre in conventional as compared to standard rubber wheels.
Caution. Please confirm that you have additional space in your bin before adopting Germinator Closing Wheel Systems.
Call 712-520-6051 or visit farmshopmfg.com to place your order today.
Farmers are the heartbeat of rural America.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in America's farmers and ranchers, focusing on conservation practices and profits for future generations. Today, these funds are at risk.
You're squawking over $20 billion. That USDA program, it's investment into the future for everybody.
If the funding was eliminated, it could hurt farms and families.
Tell Congress, protect this generational investment in the Farm Bill. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Acuron. Discover 5 to 15 more bushels per acre with Acuron corn herbicide. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Thursday morning. Getting ready for the USDA reports coming our way in about 10 minutes. But first, let's get an update from the fine people at Farm Rescue. Terry Johnston is the development officer there at Farm Rescue. He joins us right now. Terry, it's great to talk with you again. How are you, man?
I'm doing great, Chip. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Glad that you are here. You've been on before, Terry, but I want to make sure that everybody understands what Farm Rescue is. So give me the 30-second elevator on Farm Rescue.
Yeah, so we're a 501c3 nonprofit volunteer organization that helps family farms in crisis. A crisis can be a health, it can be an injury, it could be a natural disaster, anything that's impeding them from getting their crop planted, harvested, their hay being baled, livestock being fed. So we offer volunteers and equipment to help a family farm or ranch through a tough time.
Well, in addition to that, one of the things that has been part of the conversation when I'm talking with others about Farm Rescue is, yes, for those that need the assistance, it's an awesome organization. But for those that hear about a problem and feel like they have to do something to help out in a region, Farm Rescue is where those people that want to volunteer and help out, they can reach out to Farm Rescue, and Farm Rescue is going to find a way for those people to help, right?
Yeah. We have a very strong database full of Farm Rescue volunteers from all over the country. In fact, I think we have one from every state except for, I think it's Delaware. So we've got over 600 volunteers in a network across the country. They come from all over, and it's a simple process. They can go to our website, which is farmrescue.org, sign up. Just let us know what their strengths are, what they like to do, when they might be available, and we'll put them to work as soon as we can.
Outstanding. Okay. Couple of updates that we need on Farm Rescue. Number one, your footprint's getting bigger. Terry, tell us about that.
Yeah. So to date, we serve 8 states: North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Montana, Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, and Illinois. And as of this summer, we are adding Wisconsin to that list. So we'll be helping families in Wisconsin starting this fall with harvest. And then, of course, next spring, we'll be helping with planting and some of the other things that we do. So we're very excited about that. We want to get the word out to the farm and ranch families in Wisconsin. If there's a need, reach out. And I would say, if you know of a family that needs help, let us know. Most people won't ask if they need it. And so most of our families come to us by referral. So if you know of someone, again, it's easy to go to farmrescue.org and let us know that.
Yeah. Yeah. And please understand that when a rep from Farm Rescue shows up, they're going to be very mindful of the situation that an operation that is in need. They will be very understanding and make it as simple and as easy on that family as possible. Correct?
That is a correct statement. Our operation folks are amazing, and they'll assess with the family what the needs are.
Yep.
Come up with a plan. We have wonderfully trained volunteers. We have excellent equipment. We can help them do a great job with whether it's planting or harvesting or livestock feeding, so they can with confidence know that we are going to be there to help, and we can be as discreet as they would like us to be.
Yeah.
Relative to right. Awareness of, yeah.
Yeah, sure. That's awesome. Okay. What's going on right now? Because the wildfires in Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas probably created a little bit of work for you, didn't it?
It did. We don't traditionally serve Texas and Oklahoma. We do Nebraska. But cattle organizations and so forth reached out, and we don't like to say no. So we have enacted what we call Operation Hay Lift, And so we are hauling hay to families in Nebraska and Oklahoma and Texas who have been affected by these wildfires. We've got a great list of people who have volunteered to donate hay. And we've had several families reach out. I think around 10 families so far in Nebraska, 2 families in Texas that have requested our assistance to haul them hay. So, yeah, we want to get the word out. If there are folks in those areas that are needing help, or they know of a family that is needing help, please have them reach out to Farm Rescue. They can donate hay, they can donate dollars, or they can refer a family or apply for assistance. And we don't want anybody to miss out on this great offering here.
Right. What about truck drivers? If I've got a CDL, can you use me?
Yes, please. Yeah, you can go to our website and apply to be a volunteer. CDL drivers are very important to us, whether it's, you know, hauling grain at harvest time or whatever. Mm-hmm. But definitely in a situation like this, if they would like to call and sign up,
yep.
We've got the trucks. We've got the hay. We just, you know, we got it. We need drivers and families. Awesome. that use it. Yep, absolutely.
Awesome. Okay. Springtime of the year, you mentioned it earlier, planting. If you know someone out there that is struggling with an illness in the family or anything that's going to get in their way of getting a crop planted, now's the time to reach out to Farm Rescue for that family, right?
That is correct. We are taking applications for the planting season. And again, whether there's an immediate need for themselves or they know of a family that may need the help, and even if they're not sure, make sure to let us know. We can help. You know, get them on a list, and if they turns out they don't need us, that is fine too. We'll be glad to help. They can go to farmrescue.org/apply and put that information in there. Absolutely.
farmrescue.org/apply for that. And if you just want more information on Farm Rescue, farmrescue.org will get you started there. Terry, it's a great organization. Thanks for coming on and giving us an update. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks as always, Chip. Appreciate you.
You bet. Terry Johnston, Development Officer at Farm Rescue. Come back this afternoon. I'm going to have a conversation with Chad Hart from Iowa State. We'll break down the USDA reports and put some analysis on the numbers right here on AgriTalk.
At FBN Finance, we know there's one thing that unites all farmers: progress. It drives them to wake up early and be better than the day before. And whether it's a new land purchase or refinancing your ranch, FBN Finance has the agricultural expertise to help you reach your goals. Simply put, FBN Finance puts farmers first. With great rates, instant approvals, and pre-qualifications on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. And now, you can get $500 off closing costs for loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Meet Cheryl.
Hey.
She's on vacation and lost in the moment. Unfortunately, so is her Chase debit card.
It's got to be somewhere.
Maybe she lost it at salsa night.
These skirts should have pockets.
Or maybe she lost it at Pilates.
3 and 2 and...
But she's not worried. With the Chase mobile app, she can lock her card till it turns up. Tools that help protect. One bank that puts you in control. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. member FDIC.
At Target, count on our great deals just in time for Easter. Save $5 when you spend $30 on toys with Target Circle so you can fill their baskets with fun.